Cub Scouts, and Me by Janice L. Voorhees of the Western Hills 3rd Ward, Kearns, Utah, Western Hills Stake. When I had my first son, I didn't realize someday he would turn 8, and I would have to learn about Cub Scout bobcats, wolves, and bears. By the time I had my 6th boy, I was dodging the bishop, hoping he wasn't thinking how wonderful I'd look in a blue and gold den mother's uniform. But my soft heart betrayed me. I couldn't stand to see my 9-year-old leave every week, bear book in hand, only to show up 15 minutes later and announce dejectedly, "No scouts again this week." So, one afternoon, I took a deep breath and volunteered to help with a den. The scout committee chairman beamed. "That would be fine, Sister Voorhees, just fine. How about beginning this Wednesday? Only 9 boys in that group. I'm sure you'll just love it." 10 minutes later, the bishopric counselor in charge of Cub Scouts showed up. He called me to serve as a den mother, produced a registration form, and made it official in 3 minutes flat. Over time, I grew to appreciate hand-me-down uniforms with tiny needle tracks marking the patches older brothers had earned and moms had removed for the younger sons. I got used to repeating instructions 10 times, once for each boy, and once for my 6-year-old daughter, who insisted that she was a member of the den. Together, we learned first aid, bike safety, and woodworking skills. We visited the state capitol, the zoo, and the fire station. We were rained out at Cub Country Day Camp, awarded a prize at the annual Scoutorama, and laughed off the stage during a skit we wrote for PAC meeting. However, there's one project we'll never forget, painting the fire hydrants in our ward. Our Cub Master issued us red paint. I gave each of the boys an old work shirt to protect his clothes, and we were off. Never was paint spread with such enthusiasm. "We want the stake president to notice how good they look," one boy said. When the boys finished the hydrants, they started on each other, and soon laughter and paint were everywhere. It took us an hour and a half to clean up. Now when I pass those hydrants, I'm always surprised to find I feel a sense of accomplishment that few other things in my life have been able to match. I see again those laughing, paint-splotched faces, and I get a glimpse of the unencumbered happiness I thought I had left behind with childhood. The Sunday after our fire hydrant project, our ward honored its very first Eagle Scout. As I watched my cubs proudly carry the flags to the podium, I thought about what they were capable of becoming. I don't think it really mattered to me if they all became Eagle Scouts, but I did care that they fulfilled their duties to God and their country, that they learned to serve other people, and that they did the best they could. So I just kept putting up with the noise, the confusion, and the childish jokes because I liked having a hand in their future. And, of course, I had 5 more sons waiting to become Cub Scouts. Primary postcards. Shirley Faua, Strasburg Branch, Aurora, Colorado Stake. A very special experience occurred when I, as a recent convert, served as a primary teacher to the 7-year-olds. I knew this class was important because it was the year before these children would be baptized, so I was surprised to discover how many of my class members didn't come to primary. As I began working to help those little primary children, I found a mistake on my roll. A boy's name had been erased because leaders thought that the family had moved. But I learned that the family had not. I felt bad. This young man had not been contacted for a long time. So I sent him a postcard saying I was sorry he had not heard from me before, and I invited him to primary. When he didn't come, I went to his home and asked him if he needed a ride to primary. His family was nice to me, but they said he didn't need a ride. I continued to send him postcards, telling him about the things we did in primary and saying that we missed him. I always included my phone number. One day, he called me. He told me he was moving to a ranch with a horse. We talked about many things for about 30 minutes, including the importance of being baptized. When it was time to end the conversation, the young boy seemed reluctant. Finally, he said, "Primary teacher, I love you." There were a few seconds of silence, and then I said, "I love you too," because I did. He loved me, this little boy who had been forgotten the whole year, who had had one visit from me and a few postcards. I prayed that Heavenly Father would help him find another primary teacher who would seek him out and encourage him to come to primary and to be baptized. A Big Heart by David Marchant of the Timber Ridge Board, San Antonio, Texas West Stake. I was the only deaconage Latter-day Saint boy in the entire town of Red Oak, Iowa. Every Sunday, my family traveled an hour each way to attend church. Our branch had an unusually strong spirit. That spirit was exemplified to me in the form of Brother Bill Rickabaugh, my quorum advisor. Brother Rickabaugh was a big man. We described him as kind of broad at the shoulders and the same at the hips. Brother Rickabaugh's testimony was as solid as he was, and his heart was just as big. The three of us in the quorum lived in different towns, each about a half hour apart. But Brother Rickabaugh never failed to get us together every week. He continually urged us never to lose sight of the goal of serving a mission. Under his guidance, we read the Book of Mormon. Every month, regardless of the weather and the terrain, Brother Rickabaugh took us camping. He kept up with us every step of the way. I remember sitting in makeshift shelters on frozen winter nights in the hills of the heartland while Brother Rickabaugh taught us the gospel. He bore his testimony to us as we hiked across a frozen lake. The three of us may have been a handful, but he took our antics in stride, and we knew he loved us. Brother Rickabaugh may not have fully understood how much he meant to us, but I have never forgotten the lessons I learned from him when I was a 12-year-old boy. All three of us served missions and married in the temple, thanks in part to the dedication, sacrifice, and love of a big-hearted deacon's quorum advisor. Waiting for the Font to Fill by Chris Hall of the Willow Canyon 8th Ward, Sandy, Utah, East, Stake. Although I had served in a variety of church callings, there was one thing I had always dreamed of doing, leading a large children's choir. I felt very excited when, as Stake primary music leader, I heard, unofficially, that the Stake president had requested a children's choir to sing at the next Stake conference. Because of my calling, I assumed I would be asked to lead the choir. However, as the weeks passed, I didn't receive a call. Then, 3 weeks before Stake conference, our ward primary music leader said to me, "I need your help. I've been asked to lead a children's choir for Stake Conference, but I'm going to be out of town for the next 2 Sundays. Could you please substitute for me and make sure the children really know the music? I'll be back in time for Stake Conference." I swallowed hard and told her I would be happy to. But I went home with a lump in my throat, disappointed I had not been asked to lead the choir. As the days went by, I continued to struggle with feelings of disappointment. I was doing all the work, and she would have all the fun. And added to those feelings were feelings of disappointment in myself that I was bothered by it all. As the days went on, I found myself praying many times a day for my heart to be softened, that I might serve and do my part. The Saturday before Stake Conference, my husband and I, who were serving as assistant physical facilities representatives for our building, were asked to fill the baptismal font. I walked across the street to the church, turned on the water in the font, and then walked back home, knowing it would take about an hour to fill. My heart was aching as I thought about the next morning when the children I had worked so hard to prepare would sing under someone else's leadership. I knelt down in my kitchen and pleaded with the Lord to remove the hurt feelings from my heart. About 45 minutes later, I returned to the church to check on the font. It needed about 10 more minutes to fill. As I sat on the top step of the font to wait, my mind returned to the children's choir. It was then that the Lord answered my prayer. I felt the Spirit fill that tiny room, penetrating my heart, and I heard the Spirit whisper gently that it didn't matter where I served. Filling the baptismal font was every bit as important as leading the children's choir. Blessings and opportunities to feel the Spirit were available in every calling. The next day, I sat in state conference, filled with joy as I listened to the tender voices of the primary choir. The Spirit was there, and hearts were touched, perhaps none more than mine, as I reflected on the lesson I had learned while sitting quietly, waiting for the font to fill. End of the article, The Value of Every Calling, by Jan U. Pinborough.